Welcome to Words for the Wise with your host, Deshaun Williams.
My name is Deshaun Williams, your host for Words for the Wise. We have Zim on the podcast this week as we are talking about mental health. So how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Got done doing some art projects I'm working on. I'm not done, but I'm working on some art, which I'm feeling good about and trying to keep it going. I'm 6 days into a 30-day workout challenge I'm trying to do. So things are all right. It's a little hot though. I'm in San Diego and it's been a little hot today. So I'm not feeling that so much.
Man, I know what you feel. I know what you mean by the heat, because it's been over. It was about 94 degrees at 10 o'clock over here in South Carolina.
And you got the humidity too, probably, huh?
Yeah, so it felt like 104.
Yeah, San Diego's lucky. We get a little humidity here and there, but nothing like East Coast humidity. So I have to count my blessings, I guess. I can only complain so much.
Yeah, that humidity, we always joke over here, was God put South Carolina so close to the sun to show everybody that hell is no place to spend all eternity.
Yeah, sounds good. I did have one experience as a kid. So I was born actually on the East Coast. I was born in New Hampshire, but my folks were from Philadelphia. So I got to go back to the East Coast a couple times, and one time was during the summer, and that was the first time I really experienced what humidity was all about. And man, I'll never forget it though, because it feels like you're basically swimming just in air, you're just you're walking around. It's kind of you feel like you have to push it away as you walk around. It can get right. Go thick sometimes,
and it takes all your takes all your energy away just from doing one thing.
Oh yeah, that's the worst. I mean, that's what I'm struggling with, even with the heat here in San Diego. It's the middle of the day, it's kind of kills my motivation, because I'm just too hot to do anything. It's and I don't have AC or anything. I'm pretty my apartment is just pretty chill like that. It's no, there's no fancy AC or nothing, and I really can't afford to buy a in-window unit and deal with putting it in and then deal with the price it costs to run it with the electricity costs and stuff. So I just toughen it out.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. I don't run my AC inside my car because it drains up the gas.
I'll tell you what though. So I did ride share for a long time, for about 3 years when I moved to San Diego. And So I had to run the AC in the car. I was like, you know what? I'll pay that little extra in gas just because I need to. It was like my office. It was like at least my job at that time had AC. Like my house didn't have AC, but my job did, because I was in the car so much. So I could just turn on the AC and drive around and sit in the car and kind of survive that way.
Right. So, because we're talking about mental health this week. So kind of tell us a little bit about your background.
And just in general?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I'm basically, I consider myself a creative. I've been an artist and musician my whole life. My dad was a carpenter and a woodworker. My mom, kind of a combination of things, but one of the things she spent most of her time on was being a teacher and being a youth minister type person, and very into theology, mostly. I was raised Catholic. I don't really consider myself Catholic anymore, but I still practice a spiritual kind of level of things. But I was born, so I said earlier, I was born on the East Coast. Moved to Seattle, Washington when I was 3 years old. and basically grew up in Seattle. Did that thing till a couple of years ago when I moved to San Diego. But inside of there, I went to, middle school and high school and got into music early as a in like third grade. I got into music and then that just planted the seed. I played music all the way through like my entire life. I'm like really into music, really into creative stuff. But I was also at the same time very like pretty affluent in visual art. Like I was always getting A plus and all this stuff on my early days as a middle school kid when I in art class and stuff. And then that took me all the way to college kind of where I was doing both the things like high school and then early college. I was focused on music. But then when I got to the University of Washington in Seattle and went there, I transferred to visual art because it just music and that university in me just wasn't working out. So I started the visual art thing and then started playing music in bands on the side and got married eventually, had a couple kids, got divorced, moved to my kid's mom wanted to move to San Diego. So we moved to San Diego because I wanted to be around my kids. And then being here, I decided to go back to graduate school or go to graduate school. So I'm currently in at San Diego State University studying in the School of Art and Design to get my Master of Fine Arts over there. So I'm doing the visual art thing again. So that's kind of like, I mean, that's a really, we can go into more details on any of those things if you want, but that's a kind of an overview of what I've been doing. I mean, music and creativity and art is really important to me. My kids are super important to me, and I'm just trying to survive living, doing all those things, living in San Diego currently.
Hey, that's awesome. I was actually a mass comm major in college before I dropped out, and now I'm like a business major at DeVry University.
Oh, okay, good.
And I was like, well, I'm gonna change that major again. But because I deal more with communications, like with podcasts and everything. So why not, like, because business major, it's rough, but also when you deal with that mental health, you don't want to be doing all these labs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Doing labs on a computer or on the phone is stressful.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, what is your like your background on mental health?
Yeah, mental health. I've been dealing with I kind of recognize re more recently that I've dealt with anxiety my entire life. I just didn't know what it was, especially like as a younger person, I would just always be really anxious about a lot of things. Like I'm the type, like when I was a kid, like just going to the movie, like would make like for whatever reason, this something about just going somewhere where there was these unknown elements just really would trip me out. And I would have a really hard time kind of like regulating myself. It never got so bad that like I didn't have any like anxiety attacks, I would say, but I just noticed that, man, this is why is it so uncomfortable for me to like just go to the movies with my friends or whatever it may be. And then I realized as I got older, especially kind of around the time I got married, or right before I got married, actually, I had my first like legit anxiety attack. And I thought, like, I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but it feels like you're having a heart attack or you're having like you're gonna die. Like, and that's my spectrum of how I relate, like where my anxiety hits me the most is in like physical kind of health situations. Like if I get a pain somewhere in my body, I immediately go to the worst case scenario of like, oh, what is it? What's going on? And then it trips into my anxiety. So like my first like real experience of this, I didn't know what was going on. I had my ex-wife take me to her dad is actually a doctor. So we went to his clinic and he like ran an EKG on me and did all these things. Like, no, you're fine. It's just, yeah. And, you know, basically kind of told me I was dealing with anxiety, and I was like, oh, this is weird. And then, that was like we're in 2020 now. That was, I don't remember the exact date. I'll just say 2000 and I don't know, probably 2000 and, early, maybe like 2004 or three, or even around there, somewhere around. It was a while ago now. So I started to kind of put the pieces together of like what was going on. And that time I had a really hard time like regulating the anxiety part of my life and my being. And then, so as time's gone on, I've, you know, gone to therapy and I've learned some things. And more recently I've been in, you know, going to therapy basically every month to make sure I'm stay regulated. There's been times in my life that I, you know, go more often and things like that. But it's really the anxiety piece that has been the biggest kind of mental health kind of a journey that I've been on, and trying to figure out how to deal with it, trying to figure out how to live with it. One of the things I like to say, I could call it, I don't know if you're a Harry Potter fan, but maybe somebody out there is that's listening, but I kind of equate it to like a dementor attack, because the description they say what the happens when a dementor like attacks one of the characters in Harry Potter. They basically say it steals the joy from the world. And that's essentially what happens when you're going through this anxiety. Like, it's really, really difficult to find the joy. It's like you feel like it's just the worst thing. Like, either you're going to die or there's no hope. And it's really hard to get out of it. And so one of the things I've learned is that I do always, it always gets out of it. So it's just like, I allow myself to, what I say is like, ride the wave. When I start to like feel those moments, those emotions, when I feel the anxiety starting to take over, I go, just ride this, just ride the wave of anxiety, just let it happen. Don't try to fight it. Cause maybe you've heard this before too, that like, if you try to fight it, it just makes it worse. And so sometimes if you just kind of like let it happen, even though it sucks and it's like the worst feelings in the world and you don't know what's going on, you're not sure if there is actually something wrong with you or if it's just your anxiety, it's like, and then so, but I've learned to just have faith. Basically what it boils down to is just having faith and just kind of letting myself relax and then riding it out. And usually, you know, after a while it chills out, but it can take, sometimes it can take, you know, a few hours, sometimes it can take less than that. But usually whenever I have this anxiety kind of moments, it usually lingers for a couple days. You know, it's like I've backed off of the threshold, like the cliff edge or whatever it is. Like if there's this marker, I've backed away from it, but I'm still next to it, you know? And I just have to continually back myself away and away. And eventually I get far enough away that I kind of don't recognize that cliff exists, you know, that place exists. Like right now, actually I feel really good and I don't feel like that cliff like exists. I'm not worried about anything like in my life, but every once in a while something comes up that reminds me that there's this cliff, is a combination of things. Cause I've gotten to this point with anxiety, especially that I'm more afraid of the anxious feeling than the thing that's making me anxious. If that makes any sense. But, it's like, cause it, when you do trip into it, it does take a long time to get out of it. It doesn't feel good. It just starts to mess with your head. It's really hard to stay regulated, but those are some of the things. And I don't know if there's anything you want to ask me based off of what I said there, but that's kind of a journey about it. I do definitely have more specific things I could talk about too, if you want.
Oh yeah. I'm pretty sure the listeners would love to know a little bit more. And one thing I learned from the depression because I also deal with anxiety. Mm-hmm. My anxiety, like, it comes at some of the most random moments, usually in a high stress situation. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, it's hard for me to get back calm because I want to get away from the situation, but I know that I can't. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I did learn is what we go through at that moment it's just like you can't. So, like I said, you can't have a rainbow without the rain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got to endure the rain for that moment, or for those days, or however long it lasts, in order to get the rainbow.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'll talk more about what you kind of relating to what you just said. I also deal with depression. It's like they're cousins to me, you know. It's like it's pretty rare that I think to have somebody that deals with one that doesn't deal with the other, because they kind of like are cousins of each other. They kind of relate to each other. For me, luckily, the depression side of things isn't as bad as my anxiety side of things. And I've learned how to deal with my depression easier. And I've never had the same extreme in depression that I've had with anxiety, because I've heard people really go really low with their depression. I mean, you know, in places that like you mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned it on air, but you mentioned you dealt with a suicide kind of ideas, and I've never had that in my life. Like I've never had to deal with those feelings, but I understand like how that feelings could come up. And so for me with depression, the one thing that I found as the best kind of tool for myself is staying busy. If I stop moving, if I stop doing things, then my body just sinks into like just kind of like poor me kind of place, this place of like dwelling on the things that I don't have, or dwelling on the things that I wish were better in life. And so it kind of sinks me into like this kind of darker place. But if I stay productive and I stay busy, and if I give myself tasks, and I'm a list kind of person, like I have this big whiteboard in my bedroom and my studio space where I work. And I just write down every morning I get up, and I write down on the whiteboard, what are the things I need to accomplish that day? And it really helps me stay busy and stay focused. So that really helps the depression side of thing. The kind of catch 22 of that though is, you know, the more busier I am and the more I do, it can kind of ramp up my anxiety. So I have to be careful. I have to try to find this nice balance between things. And one of the ways that, you know, just depending on the situation, like anxiety for me can happen in a lot of different situations. Like you mentioned one example for yourself with, you know, stress at the job, I think you said. And if it means other people, like what I've noticed about my anxiety is a lot of it, I've been able to break it down, I believe, into finding out the root of what it is. And when I think like when I get triggered, I kind of go like, I've been able to like think back or think about, not so much in the moment because anxiety like messes me up, but when I have a chance to kind of think about it, I'm like, what caused that? What triggered that? And then I kind of work my way backwards. And then I realize a lot of the trigger of my anxiety comes from like self-worth, like believing like other people might not think I'm worthy or good enough or things like that is kind of a big place where some of my anxiety comes from. And so I just try to spend some time with that and just remind myself that I am worthy. But then the other part of it that I've noticed too is reminding myself that everybody's kind of figuring it out, and everybody makes mistakes, and everybody does stuff, and not to let my mistakes, not to try to be perfect. I mean, honestly, there's just so many things about this whole thing. Cause I know I'm also like I'm kind of a perfectionist in life and things. And I actually really work hard to be the best like version of myself, but also do the right thing around for every situation and all the people. And I beat myself up a little bit if I do, like myself, I beat myself up even if somebody else isn't gonna mention it. I still know where I failed on something, and I beat myself up a little more than I probably should around those things. So all these things are little pieces of the building blocks to how I'm kind of why my anxiety happens for me. But luckily, one of the other ways I've found to kind of address it in a way, especially in public settings, is the performer piece of me, like the part of me that's goes on stage, it's kind of a weird irony because a lot of people get really anxious in front of people. Like being on stage, like people would die, like public speaking, like would just terrify so many people, where I actually feel way more comfortable in front of other people in those settings. Like I like being the center of attention. I like being on stage. I like doing that. I get way more anxious when I'm in the crowd of people, when I'm just part of the group and just like, I that kind of social anxiety thing. But when I'm separated and I'm like in this kind of like moment of like attention or something, I can't really define it. I'm much calmer. So whenever I'm in like a social setting, I try to mentally put myself in this performer's kind of mindset and say, okay, right now I'm pretending that I'm in a performer. I'm pretending that I'm on stage, even if I'm not, even if I'm just around a few people or whatever. Whenever I feel this anxious anxiety in my body, I just kind of try to mentally put myself on stage with my guitar or whatever, just and sit down and just pretend like I'm in that moment. And it's just kind of weirdly helps me stay more relaxed or get more relaxed. So those are some more things about how I'm dealing with depression and anxiety.
Is there anything like that you would want to tell the listeners that are struggling with anxiety, depression?
Oh yeah, for sure. I have lots. One of the things I've come up with for myself, and I believe, and I think a lot of people get caught up on, is this idea that, well, especially with mental health, especially with life, this can be applied to any aspect of life. But I think with when you're talking specifically about mental health, is the idea that it's a practice, it's a daily, it's a routine, it's a practice, and it's not gonna like happen overnight. It's not like a switch. I think a lot of people, especially in our society, there's this immediacy about things. It's like they want it now, and they feel like if something doesn't happen right away, they failed at it. And that's like the complete opposite when you're dealing with mental health, especially. It's a daily minute by, it's like a second, you know, moment by moment practice, because you never know when that you've experienced before, where you're having a really great day and that one thing happens and it just totally messes you up and it's like, what's going on? So it's like, and it was just a flash moment. Somebody said something, you might have did something, like whatever happened. So it's a recognizing that when you're dealing with mental health, it's you do what you can to get the resources that you need to learn about how to deal with it. And that's another thing, the resources may change. There's no one perfect answer. So you might try something for a while and go like, okay, that's kind of working. Let me try this other thing. Let me learn from this other person. Let me go to this other therapist. Let me read this other book. You know, you continually try to keep, you know, keep active about your desire to figure yourself out, but then also recognizing that it's a long journey, like, and it's like a continual practice. So I think the people that get a handle on it, it's not that it ever goes away. It's just that they learn the tools and how to apply them so that when they get into moments of depression or anxious or whatever, they have this toolbox that they can run through, that they can get through it faster. So you may never even notice that they had a moment of anxiety or a moment of depression, because they've been doing the work and they've been putting into it and they've been reminding themselves that they need to do it every day. And I found like the biggest thing, oftentimes when we realize we need help and we realize we need to do something, is when we're at the peak of our problem, in a sense, or the peak of our mental health stress. You know, what I found is if we can do the work when we are at our calmest, when we don't feel we need it, when we continually do those exercises and those reps, that's when we get the most benefit out of it, is when we are the calmest, so that when we do get into those moments of stress, then we realize how to use those tools, and we've been doing the practice. It's the practice you do when you don't need it, so that when you do need it, they're actually available to you. I mean, I'm a big, big sports fan, and it's the same. I mean, the same kind of thing with, like, you know, NFL football. I'm a super huge fan of NFL football, but you couldn't expect any one of those players to show up on Sunday and be able to play the game to the best of their ability unless they were putting in the reps beforehand, doing the practices, going through the drills, breaking down the plays and all those things, like all through their life, essentially, they're doing all the work they can to be cut for those particular Sunday nights or Sundays games that they're playing. So it's a very similar thing. Like, how can we expect ourselves to fully understand our mental health if we're not doing the work when it's not critical, you know? So that's a big thing for me, is like putting in the work and realizing that it's a long process. It's not an overnight thing. Like, no one's ever going to be able to just flip a switch and have it disappear. It's like, you gotta be okay with the fact that it's just a practice that you have to do all the time. And once you take that to heart and realize it, I think that makes it a lot easier to deal with and to get through and to be a part of. So that's a big thing for me. I feel like there was something else too, but can't think of it right now.
One thing that can cause it, like you said earlier, was just overworking yourself.
Yeah.
I've been in that state before of, it's been like, okay, that's 24 hours in a day, but I have 30 things I need to get done.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to talk on that for a little bit. So basically in 2014, that was a couple years after my divorce, I started to okay, I need to like really go in on, like, my music was really important to me at the time, still is, but it was a different place. And I was trying to figure out what I could do. And I was working basically a 9-to-5 type job. And then every moment that I wasn't at work, I would go home and do everything I could for my music and like write songs, record, do YouTube stuff. I started the pod. That's when I started one of my podcasts, was back in the day there. So I was like, always hustling and going. And then I would have my kids. When I had my kids, like when the schedule was that I had them, I was focused on them. So like, I was always on, I was like burning it as both ends, you know? And I didn't realize at the time I had the energy or had whatever, but as time went on, and about, you know, maybe about 4 years later when I moved, or even, I don't know, somewhere around four years, a little less than 4 years later, I started to kind of break down. Like, my body just couldn't keep up with this demand that I was trying to put on. And I felt like I would fall into anxious moments way more often. And one of the things I used to take every once in a while was, what is it called? Xanax, right? That's an anxiety medication. I have this generic version of it, but I would, you know, I found myself like having to take Xanax more often because I just wasn't able to regulate and just different things like that. And so I was getting to kind of a bad spot with that life. But then it's like, okay, how do you back yourself out of that? Because I still know I want to have goals and I want to do things, but it's just like, how do you back yourself out and get to a place where you're kind of more regulated? And I really, it's taken me a really long time to figure that out. And one of the things that I figured out, like talking directly to what you just mentioned, like you have like 30 things you want to do, and it's similar for me. And I just recently realized, I had another on one of my podcasts, somebody kind of inspired me to think this way, was, you know, he runs a business, you know, he wants to run a business. And with a lot of businesses, you know, you set up this mission statement, and then you go like, what, you know, whatever it may be, you know, it's like you set this mission statement for your business. And then the way he talked about it was like, okay, so what, you know, when you're thinking about ideas for the business, you kind of always cross-reference all these ideas with what aligns with your mission statement. So if it doesn't align with your mission statement, you just have to put that aside and just go like, okay, that's not the thing that I'm going to be doing right now, because it doesn't align with the mission statement. These other three things do, even though you might have 10 things and like three of them are actually the ones that are aligned with the mission statement. Well, I've been trying to look at my life, my own body, my own person right now, as like, I created a mission statement for what I'm doing right now. And like, as I said earlier, I'm going to graduate school. So actually, on that same whiteboard that I was talking about earlier as well, I wrote on the top of the whiteboard, you know, mission statement till 2022, because that's when I'll be graduating from my MFA. And the line just says complete graduate school and get the most out of it. That's my mission statement. And then underneath that, it says, what, you know, going back to this athlete thing, it's like, what is the professional athlete's version of a graduate student? And then underneath that, it says, what actions align with my mission statement? So those, I have these kind of things up there because I want to get the most out of it. I want to hustle and I want to do it, but I also have crazy, lots of crazy ideas. And I've noticed, you know, I'm starting to notice when I'm like scrolling through TikTok or whatever, and I find myself get like jealous of somebody that seems to have more success because they wrote a song or they did this thing. I don't let that get on me because I'm like, okay, that's not what I'm doing right now. My mission statement right now is to get the most out of graduate school. So I don't let some external kind of something or other get me down because I could do that, but I'm not doing that or something, or just whatever ideas I might have. I go like, okay, what do I want to do right now? Oh, I know I want to make a YouTube show about this or that, but it's like, how much does that help with my mission statement right now? It's like, yeah, that doesn't really help my mission statement. So let me put that aside. Let me just focus on the things that are addressing my mission statement. So that's one way that I've found just recently, actually, to help take things off the plate so that you don't feel overwhelmed, so you don't feel like you can work up into an anxious place or even a depressed place when you feel like you can't achieve all the things you're trying to do. But if you kind of narrow it down to what's important right now with your mission statement, then that's a possibility to help achieve and stay in a better place mentally with what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree. Well, that's all the questions that I have for you today, actually.
Oh, okay, cool. Can I ask you a couple questions?
Yes, sir.
How did you, let's do a little podcast questions. How did you get into podcasting? What was your inspiration to start podcasting?
So my inspiration to start podcasting was actually, like I said, before we got started was when I was in the hospital I was in the hospital because of a suicide attempt. And when I got out, I said, I want people to realize there are more ways, like there's more to life than what may be right there in front of you at the time. Like what you're going through now can catapult you to greater things in life.
Yeah, totally.
And originally it was supposed to start in August of 2018, but I had no idea what I was going to talk about, so I prolonged it, procrastinated on it for so long. Then after that incident, I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to get started on the podcast. And like I said, it's like the podcast coming up on its 2-year anniversary on November the 7th of this year.
Awesome. What are you hoping that, like, or I guess the question would be like, how are you feeling about it? Are you happy with the progress of the podcast so far?
I'm gonna be honest, like, when I first started my podcast, I never thought that other states would listen to it, let alone other countries. Like, I didn't realize Anchor would, like, distribute to other countries. But mm-hmm. The fact that it's listened to in the UK and that California is one of my biggest supporting states, is like, I'm proud of where the podcast started at to where it is now, let alone it having almost 3,400 plays.
Cool.
In less than 2 years, because I was like, okay, when season four first, because that's what season I'm in now, it's like season four. Like, when season four is over, I want to have at least 3,000 plays. Well, hit that within, like, the first 4 weeks, like, the first month of season four. I was like, okay, now I got to shoot for 3.5.
Yeah.
And now I'm almost 3.5. It's like, okay, now I got to shoot for 4,000.
Yeah.
So it keeps pushing me to put out more and more content so that I can keep hitting goals.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm a big goal-oriented person myself, trying to make it happen.
Oh, yeah. And being able to know that my, I want to say it's the established audience that they do, like every 21, 28 days, something like that, is sitting at 53 people per week right now.
Oh, great.
I'm not at the level of 110 people per week. I'm nowhere near a million total plays, but hey, 3,400 plays with 53 people averaging every week at 22 years old, it says a lot.
Hey, you're doing great.
Yes, sir.
I'm still hustling. My podcast, I don't know. My podcasts are pretty niche, so I just started the one I've been doing for a long time is called Word on the Street, and it's about the Seattle and Northwest music community, but it's pretty specific. So, and it's about the like underground community, so it's not really about like the big stars that have come out of it. So I don't know. I love it if more people tune into it, but it's because it's very specific. I think that kind of like keeps the audience pretty small, but that's the thing. And then I just started another podcast about art, being an artist, being a visual artist mostly, but it's kind of like, it's a chance for me to open up the conversation to any kind of artist, because even musicians, because it's not specific to like Seattle. It's because I'm going to grad school to get my, you know, art degree. So I just want to talk about art as a big umbrella topic. So as I build that one, I'm hoping that one kind of opens up to more of an audience and more of an audience really, and more people on it and different things like that. So that one's called MFA Chronicles. So I got Word on the Street and MFA Chronicles. Those are my two like active podcasts right now.
Hey, you got two. I only got one. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I could do two at once right now, because one thing I did learn about being a podcaster when I first got started, because like I would publish on a Tuesday, then I might publish on a Wednesday, then I might go 3-4 weeks. Like, you got to be consistent with stuff.
Yeah, I think I have a little slight different philosophy on that. But I believe you have to be consistent, but more is better than less. So as long as you're publishing, I don't think it has to be like if you're publishing at least once or twice a week or whatever, it doesn't matter what day you're publishing. Like, I don't think, I know a lot of podcasters have like we publish on this day every week. I think if you wait like a month between podcasts, I think that's when you start to get into trouble. I think it's just put it out. Like, that's my philosophy, but because I did for a long time, I did the Word on the Street podcast every Thursday. It was for like 3 years. I published every Thursday, and I really didn't see a significant reason to keep doing that once I kind of like changed up my thing a little bit. Now I try to record fairly often, and I just publish as soon as I record it. Basically, I publish it the day I record these days. I just record, put it together, and publish. And whatever day it lands on, it's just what happens. That's kind of my take on it.
I've actually done what I would call like special episodes.
Oh, cool.
So like when I hit 3,000 total plays, I did like a special episode shouting out everybody that has allowed me to come onto their podcast and that has came onto mine. And then, so, like, for the 2-year anniversary on November 7th, I'll be doing a podcast. And if anybody wants to send in a voice message, they can. And I'll put that inside the podcast.
Cool. Awesome.
And, like, I understand what you're saying, because I know some people in our group, they said that they publish every day. And I was like, whoo, trying to come up with content every day. I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah, I have. I actually started one. So I have a third podcast that's I haven't published on for a couple of months now, but it's called Creative Mind. And that's where I started with the Anchor platform. And what I did when I started that one was like, I only use my phone and I would record something every day. And I did a daily podcast for quite a while, or mostly daily, but it was easy because it was just like a journal about what I was doing and what I was thinking. It wasn't like a sports podcast or something where I had to like research anything. It was just all just, so that's the only way that I was able to accomplish like a daily kind of podcast thing. It got, some people dug it every once in a while. It was at that point, I don't know if you remember or know that there was a time when Anchor kind of had this insular community within Anchor that like people would like send in those voice messages like you're suggesting to each other. So I was able to get some of that on that one as well. But now it's like there's less people that just specifically use the Anchor app and are inside of that community for how it started anymore. But anyways, that was just a little tangent. But yeah, I understand what you're saying about the daily podcast. Can it's just like a job. It's like, I wouldn't be, don't want to do that anymore either.
Right. And like you said about not many people really use the voice messaging anymore. Mm-hmm. Basically because like what most people don't realize is that Anchor was bought out by Spotify. So
yeah,
it's like more people share their Spotify or their Apple link.
Yeah.
With me, I'm on iHeartRadio and Pandora, so
oh nice.
I'll drop an iHeartRadio link every so often, a Pandora link every so often. Cause it's like who doesn't get on I don't get on iHeartRadio personally because I don't like it. Yeah. But like who won't get on Pandora every so often?
Yeah. Actually, these days, I'm kind of all about the Apple ecosystem. I listen to all my podcasts on Apple. And then I was a holdout. I was a streaming audio holdout for a long time when it came to like music. And I would listen to Pandora a lot. That was my like go-to, when a lot of people started to find out about Spotify, I was still listening to Pandora just because I didn't care. I was just like, this is my thing. But in about, I don't know how long it's been now, maybe up to almost a year, I think, I finally took the plunge and signed up for Apple Music because I realized with that one of those, that podcast I was telling you about with the Word on the Street, being a part of the Seattle music community, you know, people would send me CDs or send me music or I'd help them out with their Kickstarter or something. And I would get a physical CD because I was helping them out. I realized I no longer have a way to play music like that. Like I got a new computer that doesn't even have a CD drive and my car doesn't have a CD drive. Like I don't have a CD player anymore. And I definitely don't have a record player or anything like that. So I was like, well, I guess I need to sign up for one of these services because I want to be able to hear the music that people are making. So that's why I started to do Apple Music. But yeah.
Oh yeah. Like, I will say, like, to find a computer with a CD drive on it is like very rare now because not many people use them, and to try to go to the store and actually buy CDs is ridiculous because like they cost $8 to $10 here in South Carolina.
Yeah.
But going back to like South Carolina is one of my smallest, it's one of the smallest supporting states on my radar at the moment. Well, I was like, okay, so my home state is it's like number like the fifth one down on the list with like 17%, and I was like, okay, that's bad because Cali's beating y'all by like 80 because like 97% of it comes from Cali alone.
Yeah. Well, Cali's just a big old, there's a lot of people out here. So it's got a lot of people.
Right. And then Texas is second. I was like, well, Texas is a country all by itself. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
But just want to thank you for coming on this week.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for allowing me to talk to you about this kind of stuff. And can you mind if I just give a little like plug here kind of?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, if you're listening, you know, and you want to talk to me more about it, anything I said on this inspires you to want to ask me a question, I'm available for you. You can find me on Instagram, I guess is a good way to start that conversation. It's @_thezim, thezim. That's my Instagram. But also I have a website that's thezim.com. But yeah, there's lots of ways to find me. And the place that I'd really like your support, if you're willing, the most right now is my YouTube channel. So if you would, you know, jump over to my YouTube, it's youtube.com/thezimvideo. I would love a subscription over there. Check out some of the videos. Right now I'm focused on my art process and making these art-centric videos. And then I do some talking head stuff every once in a while and just talk to you about things. But a lot of the content I'm trying to make is kind of these art pieces that are videos as well. So check it out. And thanks, Deshaun, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right.